Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I was happy when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And that house happens to be on, 260 South Church Avenue this morning? You got it. It's right there. That's the house. So burn the building down. The house still stands. I'm just going to take a couple of minutes, if you just sit for just a moment. I would like, if you're a pastor, I would like you to stand, and your wife, if you're a pastor this morning. Not just this morning, but if you're a pastor. God bless you. Now you stay standing. If you're a pastor's wife, aren't you? I thought I was clear about that. That's part of the team. God bless you. So good to have you this morning. If you're a minister, would you join them and stand? And your wives can stand with you too. Hallelujah. God bless you, brothers and sisters. Thank you for your service. Amen. We're glad that you're here. Thank you. Last night I had made the statement, well, I'm just going to be sure to give you the Reader's Digest version. And Brother Schreiner says, you've said that before. We're still waiting for the Reader's Digest version. God makes us all in a unique way, doesn't he? Maybe not the way that we would have chosen, but for his purpose. And, you know, the secret is to learn to yield to it and forget what you think about it or what have you. But anyway, we've been so blessed in the services thus far. And before we go any further, I want to just give a hand to, we've got security, people working lights, and people that are supporting us with this facility. And they've just been fabulous. And I'd like to give the hand this morning. May God richly bless you. And then again, for just we've got sisters that have been laboring to feed the ministers and the visitors, and we really appreciate that. We love you for that. Let's give them a hand. Then we've got a team that's been working feverishly behind the scenes. You know, we had one day to basically to adjust and get set up, and it's amazing what you've done. I'm just amazed, and I want to give you a hand. And there are many others that are continuing to work to support the service, and musicians and the choir and the deacons and ushers and translators and thank you. God bless you. A good friend of mine gave us a scripture shortly after he heard about the fire, and I'd like to put that up if we could. I can't see the screen, so you tell me if it's there. There it is. Okay, Isaiah 61, verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in the bride, in the bride, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. You know, the best thing we can do to the devil is let him see us smile when he's given us what he thought was a good shot. Because he's not running the show. And we know that. The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old ways. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We've heard such high caliber, such quality services and sermons thus far. Amen. We started out with our brother Ward speaking of your light has come, and he read from Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, "Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." You're the one on the stage, and the evening light shining on you. And as you take it in, then it's shining from you. As we heard, you become the manifestation. You become that light as the word is manifested through you in this hour, right? Just so many wonderful things. Our brother started it out. My goodness, we were having church from the first service. You know, sometimes you go into strange surroundings and the first service is just a pump. You know, everybody's rushing in and some are tired and everybody's got their mind different places. Well, we had church. Amen. Our brother waited on the Lord and labored, and it was just so timely, and we appreciate that. We've heard about eternity. We've heard about a block in eternity called time. We had a message, The Program of God, Part 1 and 2, that our brother Price ministered for us. And my goodness, you know, you just shake your head and wonder. You think, how did that get put together like that? So beautiful. And then last night we heard about a little block in time. Amen. A little piece of eternity that's been carved out. It's called a little block in time. And my, just so many tremendous and wonderful things. And all of these things are tying together, each and every one. And if we were an organization, we couldn't have organized this. You know, the ministers had no idea what the other one was going to bring. They're each one waiting on him and each one peering into the word and pulling out what they're supposed to bring. And we're thankful for their faithfulness. And so we've heard about eternity. We've heard about a block in eternity called time. We've heard about beginnings. We've heard about endings for many things. And we've heard about the light and the darkness that's associated with each. We've been reminded that the devil has a birthday. Happy birthday, devil. Right? And you should be excited, because before he was, you were. And because he has a birthday, he has an end. Amen? And you'll be at his last party. And you'll be on the kicking committee. Hallelujah. So the beginning that we're familiar with in the book of Genesis was brought into plain view by the evening light that's shining on it to bring it into view, showing us more of the details. And that's what light does. You shine light on something and the details start coming out. You know, Moses kind of described things in general terms, but the evening light is pulling out what's between the lines. I had cataract surgery about 3 weeks going now, and they replaced the lenses in my eyes. So if you haven't noticed, I'm not wearing glasses. I'm still looking. I left them somewhere. I've been wearing them over 50 years, and so, you know, you kind of look around. I cry, and I run my finger, you know, don't want to touch the glasses, you know, and then I feel silly. But my vision has been renewed. They put lenses in there that are corrective. So, my goodness, everything's crisp and the details are clear. And I'm just so thankful for that. Because we've got an evening light that's shining. Amen. And we've got a lens called the Word, which is our filter. Amen. And it's lining things up and the details are coming into view. In the plain view. Amen. So these ministering spirits, and this really is the Reader's Digest version. I'll get out of the way in just a moment. These ministering spirits, they've been gazing upon the mercy seat and reminding us of the blood. We've heard that in every service. They're pointing out that blood. Hallelujah. They're looking at that word that's behind the veil, that's been opened to us, and they're pointing out to us what they see. They're pointing out the details. Amen. And I trust, as you're sitting through these services, that you're hearing them point you out in the details, because you're in that picture. Amen. It's not church age light. It's supernatural light. Amen. And you've got eyes to see. Praise the Lord. So these witnesses that have been ministering and that are going to continue to minister, they're replacing those cherubims that are guards at the throne. Those cherubims have been temporary guards until the blood and the life and a restoration could bring the true guards to their positions. So there's not cherubim standing before the tree of life. There's men, ministering spirits with flaming swords. And they're trying to get you to that tree. Amen. God bless them. God bless these men. God give them strength. They're still guarding the word of salvation. They're still guarding the word of healing. They're still guarding the recipe for the new birth. Amen. Guarding all of these things. God bless them. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Do you love him? Oh my. Could we sing, I Just Want to Be Where You Are? Could we just sing maybe a verse or two of that as we invite our brother to, Brother Reagan, to take his liberty this morning? Did you take the battery out of the watch you gave him? You better have. You wanted a timepiece. Time has stopped. Amen? I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar. Draw me near to where you are. I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place, take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence. You believe he's here this morning, feasting at your table, and surrounded by your glory, for in your presence, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be with you, oh my God. My God, you are my strength and my song. When I'm in your presence, though I'm weak, you're always strong. One more time. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar.
verse one more time. I wanna be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table.
That is. Think of us at one time as Gentiles. We had no right to come into the presence of God. But today, here we stand with such an experience with God that the scripture says the angels desire to look into what you have. Can you imagine what you have is so close to the heart of God? Whenever Peter wrote about the church having the Holy Ghost, and he said which things the angels desire to look into. And that word look actually means to stoop down and to peer intently. So they are looking with such intense observing, wondering what you have here today. I pray it never becomes common to us. Amen. Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, if you would, today. Chapter 12. Brother JJ, this is not a stopwatch, right? You didn't stop it on me. Amen. So enjoyed being here in the presence of the Lord and the saints of God. Hebrews chapter 12. We'll begin reading verse 22, looking at, by God's grace, where we have been moved into by the new birth. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And I want you to notice that Paul isn't saying we're going to, but we are. Ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Also listen to this, who you're fellowshipping with now. To an innumerable company of angels. To the general assembly, which this also applies to the angels. So the angels are assembling together. And once you're born again, this is who you meet with. Glory to God. Believe me, friends, there's more in this building than what we see. Praise be to God. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Glory. Which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. We can dismiss right now and say, wow, we were blessed to be in church today. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let's bow our heads and ask the blessing on the word. Father, we love you so much today. We pray that you'd come once again, Lord, and break the bread of life. We know you have a mannerism about you. And no matter what size the preacher is, what his name is, what race he is, if he's really called and gifted by you, the mannerism of the bread breaker is in his gift.
And Lord, we know the prophet-like in gifts and men's life, ministerial gifts to a diamond, which was pretty popular at that time on an LP album. And that diamond that was in that arm of that needle of that record player would set down on it and it would start playing the music which had been recorded. We know that your word is that way. And you're the one who chose to cut apart gifts out of the great diamond yourself. Pray that you'd help me today, that I can be able to get out of the way, that you can use that part of yourself which you placed in me. But Lord, that wouldn't do a lot of good, really, if you don't use that part of yourself which you placed in them to hear. So I pray that you'd speak through me, hear through them, live through us all to the glory of God. In Jesus' name. And the saints said, God bless you. You may be seated. I want to speak to you this morning on the church of the firstborn. We know that the position and the rights of the firstborn in the Old Testament had such a great significance. To us being a Western people of a Western civilization, it doesn't quite mean the same to us as it did to the Middle Eastern people. But yet we believe that there still is a great significance in the spiritual application of being the firstborn of God. And if we are born of God, and he believes we are born of God, and that is our genealogy, then I feel that we would need to know who our parent is to be able to know who we are and be able to get the significance of what he has left to us. Being that we are the church of the living God and we are the church of the firstborn. And when I say church, I'm not speaking of Laodicea church now. For most of us around the message, in one sense of the word, we kind of resent being called church. But whenever I say church today, I'm referring to what the apostolic teaching of the church was. And that's what they called it. Now, the reason that we kind of resented it a little bit is because the master of impersonation, once he heard the name church, then he decided he would make his own church. Then whenever we hear the word church mentioned, sometimes we kind of resent that because we say, well, we're bride and we are, but it's exactly the same thing. Jesus didn't say, on this rock I'll build my bride, but on this rock I'll build my church. So the bride is an excelling of that position to where that what the apostolic fathers told us that it was the church. But we know that we are part of that church if we are born again. Now, let me reiterate to you what's already been said. We do not come into this church by believing just the message. We are not in this church by accepting God sent a prophet. There will be no doubt thousands of people that will be lost that at one stage or another acknowledge that God had sent a prophet. You know, Herod kind of sent forth this sentiment in the first century whenever John the Baptist was here. And Herod really loved John. Herod had a great respect for John. And Herod kind of worked around John a little bit and done everything that he could to try to prevent John from being killed. And actually, it was his adulterous wife that worked it out where John's life could be taken. I personally don't believe Herod would have ever taken his life. Because Herod, being a Jew, he had a great respect for him. To me, it shows a sad story, though, of a man who has a respect for the prophet, who has a respect for what the prophet said, but can never commit his life, really, to the teaching of that. Herod was that type of man. Now, you may not want to say amen to this, but we've got Herods around this message. They never really get born again. They never follow in truth of what the prophet taught, but yet they have great respect for what the prophet said. Many Pentecostal men, Baptist men, different denominational men were that way when Brother Branham was here. But yet they never had that something inside of them that would pull them to the germination of God to allow them to be born again. May I say today, you may consider yourself to be very poor, naturally. You may be ignorant as far as being able to memorize the word and scriptures and quotes. But if you can be born again, and you are born again, you ought to be one of the happiest people that have ever lived on the face of this earth. Because you are of the elite of God. You are of those which can be born again. Now, I call it the illusion, the mysterious, the secretive part of God, the mystery of God, which is the new birth. We know it's so watered down and so preached today that basically anybody can get it. And it's a dime a dozen. But the new birth is not that easy to get. It does not come from you and I. It can only come from the Almighty himself. It can only come by those who are predestined predestinated to eternal life. You believe that? Hope it's okay to preach this here today. Now, being that we are part of the church of the firstborn, let us go back into the eternity again, if you don't mind. Now, we went through that little bit of loop last night, but what I'd like to do is go back into the deity of God today and to be able to find where we actually come from. Now, if we are the church of the firstborn, then we know that God himself must condescend from the great eternal. In the beginning, it was not God, because he was the eternal, the mighty Elohim, and there was nothing there to worship him. So when he come down and condescended into time, then he came beware into a tangible form that we would be able to understand him. And we know that he must, even in the revelation of the message, the whole thing that we see around us is the condescension of God. The cross is the condescension of God. The Logos is the condescension of God. God using a prophet is the condescension of God. God using ministers is the condescension of God. Our everyday life is the display of the condescension of God. When God told Brother Branham, go to the place that you call Sportsman's Hollow. No, you notice what that is? That is a condescension of God. That doesn't mean God called it Sportsman's Hollow. No telling what God called it, but God condescended and called it what Moses, or what Brother Branham called it, same thing. What Brother Branham called it, God done the same thing to Moses, because he would send Moses to a certain place. You call this, you call that. God didn't necessarily call it that, but these people did. So God, in their terms, would condescend his own language so they could understand what he was saying. That's the condescension of God. That's what makes him so great to us. And this is why that it takes us to be born again, because it's not in us to condescend to such a level. It's in fallen humanity to constantly ascend, ascend, ascend. And we step on everybody's head that we can to get up. But that's the wrong way. True condescension of God, greatness is expressed in humility. A preacher who wants to be above everybody else, get away from him. He's not born again. A preacher who feels like he's the top one and everybody else is under him, don't get around that man, because he's not born of the Spirit of God. A singer that has to be the top, a piano player, a musician that looks down their nose at everybody else, don't have nothing to do with them. That's not part of who we are. Come on now, church. We are the people of God, and we are a people of condescension. And we have learned by the grace of God, by the impartation of God's divine nature, to be able to condescend ourselves. Now, once this in St. John 1:1, we quoted it last night, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, notice where John picks it up. In the beginning was the Word. Now, we know there's two Greek words that was used in the New Testament for our English word, Word, W-O-R-D. One of them was Logos and the other was Rhema. R-E-H-E-M-A, spell or pronounce Rhema. The Logos is that which is the mandate or the concept of God, that which is written down. But now we know that Satan has access to the Logos. We can take the Bible and could take the scrolls, and Satan can read all of that, and he can understand an element of what God's program is by reading and quoting the Logos. But the Rhema is the Spirit of God taking that word and making it and bringing it to you in a present tense need. It'll never be outside of what God has already written. But what it does, it brings that into a present tense need of what you and I have. Now, all through the New Testament, you'll find these two words that are used back and forth, Rhema and Logos. Now, it's amazing when you go to looking at these words, how they are interchangeable. Now, we've got that element around the message. We've got Logos Christians. Are they saved? I don't say for one minute they're not saved. But if you don't have a quote in front of them, they have no leadership of the Spirit of God. If you don't have a scripture, you don't have a page and a paragraph and a date where Brother Ram said it, they have no clue of where you are. But let me just say it to you this way. The apostolic church, the New Testament church, the book of James and the book of Corinthians, one of them was one of the first books that was written in the New Testament. It was written around 59 or 60 A.D., okay, so the church was founded in 33 A.D. What did they preach for almost 30 years when they didn't have a written New Testament? Oh my goodness, I'm sorry you didn't know that. So you mean that you thought in your mind they started off with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Philippians, Galatians, Philemon. You thought they started out all that. They never had those books. Many of the New Testament preachers never even had the New Testament Bible to preach from. What did they preach from? Rhema of God. They had the Word of God, and when God gave them that Word, and let me say this, if the devil bans us eventually, which he may, we may, preachers that are on the internet, we may eventually be banned from the internet. We may eventually come to a spot we can no longer have our church services on the internet. They may confiscate our iPads. They may confiscate our iPhones. They may confiscate all these things that are around us, but they'll never confiscate my eye seed, my eye soul, my eye nature, because it comes from the I am, not from me, not from you. Amen. If the New Testament church started out and they was based upon the Word made flesh, then go ahead, devil, try to take our Bibles, try to take our tapes, but you'll never take the Word made flesh. Hallelujah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus, St. John 8, chapter 4, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded. Echo Remei. Go out, go forth, come out, the place of which one goes to come forth from, physically arise from, to be born of. I proceeded forth and came from God. May I bring it on up a little farther? You don't remember it, but so did you. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. St. John 17, 5. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. So then what was Jesus? Was there this God that was there in heaven, this really old man, and then he had this one throne, which is a great old big throne. And then he had a little boy, which was a younger man, 30s, maybe late 20s, something like that. Dark hair, you know, hanging down however long. And he had a smaller throne setting over to his right-hand side. And then this younger man was on this right-hand side. And then the father and son, these two beings, started having this conversation. And he said, I need somebody to go down to the earth and die for these people out here. Are you willing? Will you be able to do this? And then the boy looks over at the father and said, well, I'll tell you, it sounds like to me it's going to be kind of a tough job, but I really don't know. I mean, if it's something that you want me to do, is there anybody else? I mean, we can. And his daddy looks over and said, no, there ain't nobody else. Well, I guess, and I'll have to do it if that's what you want me to do. That's not my God. And if that's yours, I hate to tell you today, you are a heathen. And the sad part about it is there's heathen sitting in this message. Why? Because they worship two lords. Jesus didn't say, I'm one of them. He said, I am he. Praise God. Now, how did God, in this act of condescension himself, I love the way Brother Branham goes through this and question and answers on Genesis. No one has seen God. Now, the next thing we begin to see, I think Brother Mike quoted it up from this, with the eyes of the supernatural, we see a little white light forming out there. And what is that? That was called by Bible readers Logos, or the anointed, or the anointing. I was going to say the part of God that began to develop into something so human beings could have some kind of type of an idea of what it was. Now, this is the very reason that he did this, was with you in mind.
Now you were going to become tangible, and he knew that there must be a tangibility about deity which would be reflected in order to give you something. The whole picture, the prophet said, is God condensing and God becoming material. Now it's hard for us to imagine because all we've ever been is mortals. But what if you were the eternal? Now you were the eternal. There was no one above you. There was no one below you. There was no one beside you. There was no one on your left, no one on your right, no one in front of you, no one behind you. And you are the greatest of all things, yet you desired to express yourself and expand yourself. So how would you go? Humanly, we would always think up. Or we would think this way, spreading ourselves out. But since he thinks different than us, he thought of expanding himself. But how? In the act of condescension. So he thought of expanding himself down. Oh, praise God. He thought of expanding himself down. This is the greatness of his character. Now watch what God is doing. So the part of God that began to develop into something so human beings could have a type or an idea set of what it was a little light. Now listen what it was. So this comes out of the very being of the eternal. Now remember, God is not a man. Get out of your mind that God is a man. The prophet tells us no one has ever seen him or ever will. In the eighth day, what will be their setting on the city? It will be the Lord Jesus, God's human body, and that great light hanging over him. That is the Father. The Father is not a man. The Father is not a human being. The Father is the invisible God. Now unto him which is immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be power and dominion forever and ever. Now listen what God was doing when this light, well, if God is light, what would God give birth to? A little white light. Lord have mercy. Look, I ain't very smart, okay? So y'all help me this. What do dogs give birth to? Answer me. Thank you. What do cats give birth to? Horses? Cows? Now, if God ever gave birth, what would God give birth to? So if God is your father and you are born again, come on now, don't be afraid. Don't you understand? In your soul today is a lick of this light. Glory to God. In your soul, this is why you're so drawn to the light of the day. Because in your soul, you are light. Paul said you were sometimes darkness, but now you're not in the light. But now are ye light in the Lord. Notice as he says, God gave himself birth to this son, which was before there was an Adam or heir to make an Adam. Jesus said, glorify me, Father, was the glory that we had before the foundation of the world. Not an old man now and his boy, but big light and little light. Now this is the Logos that came out of the eternal. You don't remember it, but when it condensed out of the eternal into tangible form, believe it or not, you came out with him. Now, not in human form now, but in your original form, which was the Word. Glory to God. Notice again, and who is God? Let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, a little like a mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God. Now, not another person, an old man and a young boy. This is the person of God made tangible. Oh, I wish folks could see that in the Godhead. Instead of trying to make two or three gods, and oh, how the devil must be so happy in the very message that God used to restore the trueness of the Godhead. And then the devil sent a bunch of demon-possessed theologians in this message and try to turn the people back to being heathens again. That's what they are too. Ain't men of God preaching two or three gods. Oh my goodness, I'll hear from this, but that's all right. Hallelujah. Notice that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. That was the Son of God that came from the bosom of the Father. Not another being, not another God. The same God in the act of condescension coming down, becoming material. That was in the beginning, it was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God, then out of God came the Logos, a part of God that went out of God. Let's all take a little trip tonight on a little ship, a little spaceship or an airship. Let's go back 100 million years before there was a world. Before there was even a star or anything, and now you can see nothing but space, and all that space was God. In the beginning was God, and now we'll watch come into existence a little white light, we'll call it, like a halo. That was the Son of God, the Logos, that went out of God in the beginning. There was no devils there, no angels, no sickness, no trouble. Nothing. No light, no matter, no time, no molecules, no atoms, nothing. And God gave birth to a son. So out of this great luminous object called Elohim, Adonai, comes this little flickering white light. Glory to God. The firstborn among many brethren. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Notice, Brother M said, we'll watch coming into existence a little white light. We'll call it like a halo. That was the Son of God, the Logos. Notice this in life. Out of the existence of the Father went the Logos, which was the Son, which was the theophany, which was the body of the great Jehovah God, went forth in a celestial body. Wow. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, for we know if this earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a body, a building, a house of God, eternal in the heavens, a house not made with hands. Now Paul was a tent maker. And the words that Paul uses in 2 Corinthians there is the formation of a tent. So he likens this earthly body to a tent, which is a temporary place. A tent doesn't have a foundation. A tent is made where you can throw it up and take it down, throw it up and take it down. And Paul likened our human body to a tent. But he said, this one you're fixing to get has got a foundation. Amen. It's got a foundation. Amen. Wow, where'd it come from? He said, it is eternal in the heavens. How could it ever be eternal? It came out of the eternal one. When his own son was birthed, the theophany come out. What was it? Melchizedek in the antitype. Melchizedek was not the only one that had a theophany, but you have a theophany. The prophet said the Logos, the word, spoke out of the great fountain of life and went forth. There was the theophany, which was God made into word. So now the eternal makes himself. So it's like a drama, you see. So he's the great eternal. And then he says, let me be. And he was. But that which was is, as you can see, still there. So here is the Father.
And here is me. And here is you.
He did not come down to this earth and try to pick up some people that felt sorry for him. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Hallelujah. But before you was lost, you was him.
Notice again in Hebrews, he says the Logos, this great fountain of spirit, which had no beginning or no end. This great spirit began to form in the creation. And the Logos that went out from it, it was the Son of God. So God just simply changed his mask. You know, Paul uses the word there when he says that we become a spectacle to men and to angels. The word spectacle there is actually theater. You didn't know that? Theater. So we're not actually here in a theater today. We are in a theater. Don't you understand where we are? We're in the last scenes of the Gentile history. Now, I'm the only one up on the stage on the platform today. But this is only in this theater because I'm preaching. In reality, every one of you are on the theater of life. Every one of you have your part. Men, women, boys, girls, whatever you are, you have your part and you are acting out your part in the Father's drama. And may I go on to say, there's not enough devils in hell. There's not enough sickness. There's not enough trouble. There is not enough darkness out here in Laodicea to keep this drama from being acted out. Hallelujah! Because God ordained it thus and there is nothing that will stop it. Let people turn against the message. Let them turn away from it. It will not stop us at all. We go right on. So the Logos that goes out of God, that's the Son of God. Not another boy, not a little boy, not a little. It's God. So he just. Notice Brother Branham said it was the only visible form that the Spirit had. So visible forms of God are sons and daughters. Hallelujah!
Friends, this message is not just about Brother Branham. Oh, when we come to it, that was our emphasis. Brother Branham, Brother Branham, Brother Branham. We still believe that. We thank God for the prophet of God. How will you ever get in the rapture without this message? How can we ever say we love God and don't appreciate Him sending the prophet to us? Is that right? But this message is not just about Brother Branham. It's about Christ Jesus and you. Brother Branham is not the only member of the bride, but you and you and you and people around the world.
So this is the only visible image. Now we're talking about dimensional thinking. I know this is hard for us, but in dimensional thinking. So we think about, well, where God? Where is God anyway? I mean, we got all these trillions and miles that's out there in the space. God ain't way out yonder past them, all them galaxies. He's in another dimension. Remember when Brother Branham, whenever he's laying there with his head back against the bed and his arms up like this and he's singing about beyond the curtain of time and a voice said, would you like to see? He said, I believe it would help me so much. So he feels himself leaving his body and he looks back. And there his body's laying on the bed. He said, I wasn't 20 feet. Can you imagine 20 feet from where you are this morning, the saints of God are? Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Why?
It's in another dimension, moving faster than what we are. That's why Jesus could walk through a wall.
Oh, I can't wait to tease the devil with that one. When I get a glorified body, can you imagine the Lord's going to leave us for a little while? No doubt it'll be to aggravate them dudes. They go to looking for us and what in the world happened to him? I had this trial set for him today and all of a sudden he's standing there and he's gone. Where's he at? Brother Ram said, think of it, missing people. They can't find you no more, but you're getting together with the rest of the group and you come up missing on the earth. Oh, hallelujah! Come up missing on the earth. Why? You have turned back to your original Logos form. Watch this in the Laodicean church age. Multitudes of people get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than the Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contains. But that is not right. You know that doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. The words are he is the beginner or the author of the creation of God. We know for surety that Jesus is God. You know, as well as I know, there are preachers that say they believe this message and are preaching Jesus is not God. They're liars and false prophets. And if they don't get straightened out, they'll go to hell. It's like any other Trinitarian. Well, praise the Lord. So here is the firstborn of God. Hence, from here, the family will begin. Now the right of the firstborn in the Old Testament was, he was the one who broke the matrix or the womb. So when a father died and say you had five children, then you would divide your inheritance into actually six parts. Five children, divide the inheritance into six parts. Because the firstborn got two portions. You see, the church gets saved. They get saved from sin, but we got double portion. We get saved from sin and from the tribulation period. Woo! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God! I'm saved from sin. I'm saved from sin too. But not only am I saved from sin, I'm saved from Russia blowing this nation up. I'm saved from the tribulation. I'm saved from the vows. I'm saved from the white throne judgment. Oh, I wish somebody preached with me this morning. I will never stand before the white throne judgment because my Lord Jesus took my place. I will never go to hell because my Lord Jesus took my place. It is my inheritance. You see, your identity actually goes farther back than just the day you were born on the earth. July the 9th, 1956, about 8 or so in the morning, 9, I come into this earth. That evening, about 8 hours or so later, my wife was born into this earth. The Lord paired us together from eternity. We just linked up here in time and we'll step out of time together in this loop and we'll be pulled back up again into the circle one of these days. Just like you will with yours. But that was not really my beginning. Now it was the beginning of my mortality. But there was a part of me which is not mortal. Romans 8:29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predetermine their destiny, which is what predestinate means. Well, glory to God. Predestination is not just looking to your destiny, it's looking to where you come from. It's not just looking to where you're going, it's looking to where you come from. To be conformed to the image of his son that he might be the only one, the only child, the firstborn among many. Brethren, you mean we're not stepchildren? We're not foster kids? That's the way some of us act. Papa, can I have healing? Please, I beg you, don't kill me. Could I have a little bit of peace in life, please? If that's too much, that's fine. You're not a foster kid. You're a child. Well, you say, I don't see no halo hanging over your head. Of course you know, it's hanging over my heart.
this journey, shall we? The same God that spoke when Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world, the same one called you at that time and wrote your name in the book. Amen. Now that sounds like it might not be so, but it's the Bible. So it has to be so. I'm talking about the church of the firstborn. Notice again he says, God wrote your name in the Lamb's book of life. All the devils out of hell can't erase it out of there. Listen to this. God wrote it and spoke it. Oh, do you believe that Christ is the spoken word of God? You say amen to that. Do you believe you are? It's just as sure to happen as God wrote it in there before the foundation of the world. How our glorious heavenly Father is in the infinite love and mercy to do that for us. Then be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. How can you be when it's not my perfection? It's not your perfection. It's His perfection of His word that He chose you. You never chose Him. He brought you into Christ and you are secure with Jesus Christ just as perfect as Christ was before God. Children, do we believe this? Brother Donnie, you don't know about... No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about what He has done. I believe one of the greatest challenges we're going to have in this hour is believing what the Word says about us versus what we know about ourselves. Our humanity, our weaknesses, our shortcomings, our fears, our complexes, and so on. But we have to look beyond that. The prophet of God said God is calling for the seed of Abraham. Oh my, to move beyond, see, taste, feel, smell, hear, love, imagination, conscience. This is your line, seed of Abraham. Look beyond your weakness. Look beyond your shortcoming. And look to your birth. Look to who you are in your soul. You are the church of the firstborn. Oh, you say, so I can do anything I want to? Absolutely. I always do. I smoke as much as I want. I drink as much as I want. I rob as many banks as I want to. I have as many girlfriends as I want. I just don't want to do any of those things. You are secure with Jesus Christ. Oh, excuse me a minute. A poor old devil's laying over here passed out. Now, devil, wake up. No, we're not done with you yet. I'm going to whoop on you some more. Wake up, devil, wake up. Just as perfect as Christ. Y'all believe Christ is perfect? But do you believe you are? Well, make up your mind. Brother Donnie, how can that be? You've got to separate yourself. You've got to separate yourself from you. This is not the real you. Oh, glory to God, the real you is that little white light down inside of your soul. That came from the very Logos of God. This is your true family. For you're not standing with your own. You're standing with Him with one thing. I believe God.
Again, he says, notice, only Christ was slain to take away sin, but your name was written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. God wrote your name associated with his before the foundation of the world. I love the way he says this other sins here. Now, Satan, make him get scared now. Don't you see? You say, oh, this kind of preaching will make people, they'll live evil. They'll live not if they got a revelation from God. Brother Donnie, you're giving people a license to sin. Most of the folks I know sin without a license. If you're born of the Spirit of God, this don't make you want to sin. It humbles you here today. It humbles you because you realize how great God is and you are a part of Him, my friends. No wonder the angels are stooping down and looking into your Holy Ghost. And Paul said God chose the church to be the instrument by which he would display the manifold grace of God. And the word manifold is variegated in many different avenues. Every day of your life, the angels are watching as God moves through you and God ministers to you, and the angels are in awe. The angels are in the theater seats of this message. Lord God, the angels ain't on the platform preaching. The angels ain't on the platform acting out this word. Preachers are doing that. But the angels are actually in the seats watching the drama of humanity as it plays out in your life. In my life.
And it won't stop here, but Paul says through the ages of eternity, the angels of God, this very day, the gates have been hung, we know. The streets have done been created. And they are standing there breathlessly. They've been doing that since 1965. They've got a long way to hold their breath, don't they? But it's like they're just waiting. It's today. So they're watching your husband. You see, Peter, Paul, James, Matthew, Martin Luther, Irenaeus, all those believers, they've actually never went into the presence of God yet. They're in the sixth dimension, they're on the altar of God. It would be unbecoming. It would not be fitting for them to see him with blood on him. As long as we're still here and still need redemption, he's still in the office of high priest. Right? So you imagine every move he makes, they watch him. So if he kind of just flicks his finger, they get all tense up. This is what they're watching for. When he gets up, steps in behind the curtain as it was, takes off his high priest garments, and comes out dressed like a king.
Glory to God! Glory to God! And they look around and say, today is rapture day. Oh, hallelujah. Today is rapture day. He changed his garment. His change of garment means you're fixing to change yours. Amen. When he is no longer high priest, it is a sign, brother, sister, we are fixing to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Can you imagine the anticipation of the Lord Jesus? You think you're longing for the rapture. How would you like to have been waiting for it for around 3 trillion years? Or 4? He's been waiting for millennia. Just like an antsy bridegroom. I've done a lot of marriages. Back in my office, me and the best man and the bridegroom and whoever you are just pacing back and forth. I say, buddy, it ain't too late. There's the door. No, Brother Donnie, if it had been left up to me, we'd have just come in your office after church and we'd have got married. And I'll tell you one thing I never went through. I said, I hear that story over and over again. It's generally the wife. It's generally the woman. This is her day.
Is that the song, Brother Dan? No, that's not it, brother. Just a little bit more. So I've got the agenda laying there, you know, play this certain song, do this. Is that the song, Brother Dan? No, it's not it. It's okay. You imagine the Lord Jesus. How do I look? How do I look, angels? Splendid. Oh, your majesty, your royal highness, your majesty, your excellence, your savior, mighty God, everlasting father. How do I look? Only one thing lacking, sir. Change your robe. I wonder if we won't feel the reverberation from heaven as the angels are dancing. When he comes out with his robe on. And they know today is the day. And it may be the worst day of your life. As a human. You get up to go to work, your breath stinks. Your hair's sticking up on this side of the head and that side if you got any left. You look awful. You're brushing your teeth, using Listerine, and trying to get yourself together. And all of a sudden in the mirror, there stands your mama. She's 20 years old, Brother Daryl. There stands your mama, reaching out her hands and, Daryl, grab Cheryl by the hand. It's time. It's time. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Why are you going to be a part of that? Because you was a part of the light. This is why you're magnetized, friends, to the light of the day. Why do we rejoice in the evening light? It is the rapture call for us.
Can I have a few more minutes?
Brother Bram said, before the world ever began, God calls your name.
You Christians?
God called your name.
You Christians?
You see, we have to wait till our children are born to make a family album.
There's little Junior, he's born in, you know, whatever year it was. Look at his little tiny handprint. Look at that little T90 foot. Oh, don't you remember that?
I remember that. He's got a size 13 now. Boy, he's really grown up, ain't he? And we go, oh my. We go back and we show him that picture. Oh, that was me? Oh, wow.
But we have to wait till ours are born.
But God, before the foundation of the world, lined up his attribute children and said, smile, children. God took a picture of you. God made his family album before there was a family or an album. God made his family album. And the prophet said he made it at your best. Not when you was 18 or 20, but before the foundation of the world. You imagine him there in eternity as he was cycling through the family album.
Oh, look at that. Look at that young man. Oh, my goodness, I love him.
Let's see, his name's going to be Moses. Oh, my. That's my boy. That's my boy. Look at that one there, Aaron. And God just flipping through eternity, looking at all them millions of faces and all them millions of attributes and what they're going to do. Amen. It ain't no wonder when we look in Revelation 10 and we see an angel come out of heaven. He had a little book in his hand. It was not a big book. It was a little book. It was a family album. God is calling our names from the little book.
I wish I was about 20 this morning so I could preach. Y'all thinking, Lord God, I'm glad you're as old as you are. You wait till I get my new body.
You see, all that noise bothers me. Well, I hope you live in a different subdivision in heaven than where I'm at.
God called your name. And yet, you was not there to respond. How do you know that which you heard that day on a bar stool or in a church, wherever you was not that very same call that was spoke before the world began? It kept circling the earth.
waiting till you come on the earth. And all of a sudden, remember the prophet tells us that Eve was God's perfect thought of a woman. So when she fell, did the thought fall? No. That thought is still there. You sisters, our daughters, our wives, our nieces, all of you that are living this word, you are still lining up with that thought of God. That thought of God will pull you back to an eternal youth, sisters. Let the world ridicule you. Let them make fun of you. Let them do whatever they want to do. You are harmonizing your life with that thought of God. What God's perfect thought of a woman is. God called your name, you Christians, and wrote it in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever started, saith the Bible. That's God's word. He spoke back there and revealed through his servants, the prophets. And we're enjoying the blessings of resting and waiting on the coming of the Lord, waiting for it. And the church said, law having a shadow, did you know the same time he was slain? Lord, children, you was accepted. Did you know that the same time the lamb was spoke to be slain and the bloodstain was appropriating then, your name was associated with it at that very time and put in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is so simple. The only thing you had to do was run out to the time that God called you by the Holy Ghost. Let me jump down to paragraph 35. I wish I was twice my size. Maybe I could yell twice as much. Think of it, before the world was ever formed, when the Lamb's Book of Life was spoke back there, your name was associated with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. What are you scared about? He's up there on the receiving end. He's got angels here watching over us. Lord, you said so. This is your word, what you spoke back there. When you spoke my association with it, I'm staying in the word. So here is the firstborn of God. And out of that firstborn will come all of his brothers. That's why we don't need a pope. We've got a holy father. The everlasting father, the prince of peace. Notice in Genesis 49:3. Reuben, thou art my firstborn. My might. And the beginning of my strength. The excellency of dignity. Excellency of power. Now this is a prophetic utterance defining the position of the firstborn. But watch him separate verse 1, or verse 3 rather, from verse 4. Unstable as water. Showing the contrast between the position, Lord have mercy, and the man who holds it. Amen! All glory to God. Notice Reuben. This was Reuben's position. But this is the human part of Reuben. Unstable as water, thou shalt not excel because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. Look at Reuben and look at yourself. Look at that soul of yours and see what God gave you by the new birth. And then look at your flesh, unstable as water. As weak can be sometimes. We get frustrated. We doubt. We question. Come on, church. We question, but yet that does not change your position in Christ Jesus. You are his excellency. You are his strength. Exodus chapter 4, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou goest to return into Egypt. See that thou do all these wonders before Pharaoh, which I put in thine hand. And I will harden his heart, that he shall not let
the people go. Thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. God is not fixing to steal Pharaoh's property. These slaves might have logistically belonged to Pharaoh. So how's God judicially going to bring them out? Change their position. God ain't a slave stealer. He's a son razor ripper. Now that's theological Kentucky, in case you didn't know.
How can God justly go in and take another man's slaves?
But God exalts the position of those slaves and places a priority on who they are. And say, Pharaoh, you thought they were yours. Lord, children, don't you see yourself? When you was out there in the world, the devil thought that you belonged to him. You thought you belonged to him. Don't you understand what God had to do? Some of us have been released as far as our dress. You don't dress no longer like slaves, but you're still slave mentality. You're still in bondage in your mind. Your mistakes, your failures, your shortcomings still bring you back to a slavery of bondage. Oh, I'll never go on the rapture. I can never be good enough. I've got all this in my past. Oh, this haunts me. That haunts me. You're a slave. Your thinking needs to change, the sons and daughters of God. Remember what Brother Mike told us the other day? I have a lamb. Yes, I'm no good. That's right. My flesh is rotten, but I have a sacrifice. So what does God do? God tells Moses, Israel is my son. My firstborn. So I have the right to deliver them and kick out the Philistines, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, because the land they're on belongs to me. So I've got a right to boot them out and give this to my firstborn. So I'm going to give them the first portion. I'm going to bring them out of Egypt. Y'all remember that? By the grace of God. But thank God we've not stopped there. We've got a land. And right now, may I say this, don't you understand what the devil's trying to do? By those that are pulling away from the message and trying to find fault and failures and this and that and the other, don't you see what they're trying to do? They're trying to rob you of your land. They didn't have no inheritance in it in the first place, but they're trying to make you doubt and question the authenticity of what is yours. This ain't aimed at make believers. This ain't aimed at them that never would go on anyhow. It's aimed at you. You can't have faith in who you are if you question the authenticity of the messenger and the message itself. Oh, in walks Moses. Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. God said, let my boy go. I didn't know God had a boy here. That's what Laodicea says too. We didn't know there's a bride here. Well, wake up and look at her. There's a few hundred of them gathered here. They're gathered in the Congo. They're gathered in Zimbabwe. They're gathering all over the world. And why these absolute anointed of hell infidels are going around trying to destroy the influence of the message. People are coming to the word in China. They're coming to the word in India. They're coming to the word all over the world. Oh yeah, we're going to lose some. That's the way it goes. But we ain't going to lose one whose name is on that book. God will not have to go back in that family album and remove a picture. That's not my God. Every picture that was in there will be made manifest in the rapture. Israel is my firstborn. Notice verse 23. And I say unto thee, let
Don't you realize that's what happened to you? The devil claimed you. You had that navel. You had all this in you. You had the genetics of your father, the genetics of your mother, all 23andMe. All Ancestry.com. Come on. Oh, praise the Lord. Isn't it amazing that in this very age, in the last few years, that this thing has taken off so much that people want to know where they come from? Glory to God. All these DNA things are exploding right and left, and people are finding out they're 51% Scandinavian, and they're 3% British, and they're this and that and the other, and they're wondering where they come from. It's only a parallel. There is another people on the earth, and they are wanting to know where they come from. I'm preaching to you today, not 23andMe, but God. God and me. Hallelujah. God and me. God and you. So go to the Word website and see if your name's there. You see, before deliverance message can ever be preached, the position of the people has to be changed. Let my son go. One day, a mother eagle laid two eggs. An old farmer needed enough to finish the setting. So he climbs up high, reaches up in there and takes one of them eagle eggs out. Takes it back down to where his farm is, sets it under the hen. They all start hatching. Out comes this little old guy, funny looking beak. His feathers are different color, really odd guy. He's got big old long claw looking things. I mean, they're trying to figure out, what is that good for grasshoppers? Mama, this guy's bad deformed. Don't you understand? You've borne this deformity all your life. This deformity is going to be your ticket out of here. If you looked at like everybody else, you're going to go where they go. Here comes Mama. Come on, little chickies. Come on, little chickies. Well, here he comes. You can hear him go, beep, 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 beep. And he'd try to do it. Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep. He's getting my peep voice. Beep, 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 beep. It always took more room for him in church. You know, because his wings, when he'd go to spreading them things out, people say, man, don't sit by him. He'll hit you in the head. He is so emotional. He just... Glory to God. Hallelujah. So Mama takes him to this first convention. Beep, 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 beep.
Beep, beep.
I mean, beep, 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 beep. Here, honey, here. Here's a fresh manure pile. Oh, look at this corn that was not digested in this cow's belly. What a feast. What a Lutheran feast. What a Baptist Methodist feast. And he goes over and said, I feel sick. Oh, God. So he kind of stands over from the pile. Maybe I should hold my breath. He's raking the corn out, you understand? Oh God, that likes to kill me. He'd climb up on the bar stool and say, give me a scotch and a... whatever they drink, you know. Set there like everybody else. And he'd lay down at night and say,
There's got to be a better love. This can't be who I am.
He'd go out with his buddies and shoot up.
And then when it would wear off, glory to God. Let me hurry. Brother Darrell's going to preach tonight. One day, Mama had that son in her mind, and she said, I know I got another son down there in Tucson. I really hate to kind of go this way, but I think I'm going to have to allow somebody to kind of set the church on fire, to move the meetings, because there's going to be somebody over there that's going to come in. Glory to God. Glory to God. So here she goes. Remember, her eyesight is so sensitive that she can see a rabbit a mile and a half away, viewing a span of 40 to 60 miles while she's looking. So if you can see a rabbit, you can sure see an eagle. So she didn't say, there's my little chicken. If she's going to bring him out of that barnyard, she's got to change his identity in his mind. So she goes over and she makes a pass. Preaches the sermon, who is this Melchizedek? And when you recognize the word of God is eagle food, you left the other thing and you heard from your theophany. So she sets the flaps on her wings and she starts down. And the pastor and the associate pastor and the deaconess and all the people of the hen yard, the bond yard. He was a little late on that text or that memo. So he happens to look up. And Brother Branham said he saw an image of something that he wanted to be. How could he have ever wanted that? He was raised by the chickens, hatched under the chickens, but the key was he wasn't a chicken. You might have been hatched out in a Baptist church under a woman preacher. You might have been hatched out under this and that and the other, but you wasn't no Baptist. You wasn't no church of God. You was the church of the firstborn. Then she looked up and she screamed. He said, son!
Amen.
Son! He said, Mama? Mama? Mama?
We didn't say mama, we said daddy.
Come up to me, son. What can I do, mom? Just jump.
But we don't do that here.
If we jump in our church, they'll throw us out.
You want to come to me or not?
I do.
Put you up. The prophet said, boop.
Well, I ain't never been this high in my life. He's up on the fence post. Is this good, Mama? Can I be an eagle believer just right here in the chair over the barnyard?
No, son. You gotta come higher.
Now, but this time, the pastor, however you want to say that. The rooster pastor runs to the barnyard. Run, fanatics in the land. Other men followers are tape pushing me. Run, everybody, run.
And he's just mesmerized. Imagine Mother Darrell, she'd just tip her wings and just kind of showing off a little, you know. And he'd, I can do that. I can do that. She'd turn her head around, give him that Logos profile. And he'd say, that looks just like me. Or I mean, I look just like that. Or, well, I guess it's the same thing. And it hits him. Whew. In a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. When the trump of God shall sound. And the image finally seals enough to where it attaches from his mind to his wings. Think of what a momentary synchronization that had to happen to this guy who had never flew before. Mature eagles know the strength and power in their talons and in their legs. Whew, they can launch themselves. He'd never use that. But looking at this image, it's peering. It's changing him. Can't you see why Satan wants you to look at the world and the things of the world and get your eyes off on people? Keep your eyes on the image of Christ. All of a sudden, Brother Doug, it hits him. The legs, the talons, the wings, the mind, the beak. It hits him.
Whew. Here comes his mama. Suppose,
honey, honey, you're going off the deep end. Oh, don't do it, dear. Don't do it. I knew somebody that started listening to the tapes. They went absolutely crazy.
Too late now. His mind's unsynced up with his legs. His legs are synced up with his wings. Can you imagine when we not only start saying amen to these things, just intellectually, but when it hits us, all I can say is it's a good thing these seats are bolted down, because when it hits us, we're going to tear this place up. Let's stand.
Forgive me for going a little long.
Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Verse 20, of course, the angel speaking to Joseph, and Joseph's thinking on these things, the supernatural things. In verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. You mean they were already his before he died? Well, come on, this is your Bible. He shall save his people. From what? Their sins. You got saved from your sins. You was not a child of the devil and then become a child of God. Oh, no. What's this? In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, brothers, if you go down just a little bit. It became him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Verse 11, for both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all.
Children, are we close? Are we close to where we can say, ah, and my Father? Lord Jesus. To make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them. Not servants. Not dogs, slaves. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus this morning? I'll tell you one thing. I've got some family members I'm not sure I'd want you folks to know about. You thought that was funny. I guess you got some you wouldn't want me to know about either. My family wasn't horse thieves in Tucson. There's horse thieves in Kentucky. The only reason they didn't kill your uncle because they didn't know him. The only reason your uncle didn't kill them because he didn't know them. Can you imagine the Lord Jesus able to look at us and say, these are my brothers. And I'm not ashamed to say it. Hebrews 2:12 saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church. The Lord Jesus singing in the midst of the church while I sing praise unto thee. Do you understand what his songs are about? The Lord Jesus is singing about you. Remember the scripture they posted up here in Zephaniah the other night? I will sing over you. We sing about him. We sing about heaven. We sing about angels. And he sings about us. Hebrews 2:13, and again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I am the children which God has given me. Aren't you glad you're part of the church of the firstborn? Let's bow our heads together. If there's anyone here today that is not a part of the church, when I say that, I'm not saying that you don't attend Brother Doug's church or one of these other churches here in Tucson or Phoenix or wherever more, wherever you live. But being a part of the mystical body of Christ, that can only come by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look, friends, we have made it an easy believism. Well, if we believe serpent seed and we believe women can't preach and we believe our wives have got to dress up and do this and that and the other, then, you know, we got the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Holy Ghost until you're born again. Then the Holy Ghost will lead you to believe the right things. Doctrines are important. But to many folks in this message, all they have made this message is one doctrine after another. And they fuss and fight and argue. And if you don't believe their doctrine, you're serpent seed and they cut you off. I'll tell you one thing, that's not the kingdom of God I belong to. My Lord God loves humanity. You leave here today and you walk out here and see these people on the streets. They're going to be dressed awful. They're going to be talking awful, looking awful. But God looks at them and he says, it is not his desire that any should perish. So if you want anybody to perish, you're missing something. Now, he didn't say he wanted them all to be bride. He just don't want them to be lost. It's a simple illustration that I've used several times. But let's say it this way before we pray. So one of your sons goes out on a camping trip somewhere, go out in the mountains. He's going to Sabino Canyon, we'll say. He takes one of his school friends with him. They get up there, they fall, they have a rock slide. Your son falls, breaks a leg. His school friend that's with him, he falls, gets hurt. He texts you, Father, you and your brother, and maybe brothers from the church. You take off and you go up there. You get there. You're worried to death. Your son, how is he doing? How is he doing? And you get there. You find him and you bring a stretcher and you minister to him first aid. You mean to tell me you would leave the friend of your son there? When you have ample means, you brought another stretcher, you brought another emergency kit, you brought men to help you pack him out. You would leave him there because he's not your flesh and blood. The Lord Jesus came to this earth to seek and save that which was lost. His people. So he went to the pawn shop and he had the predestinated pawn tickets and the receipts in his hand. But it just so happened there was a power saw and a drill and a light. And something else that was there. And they heard about his work of redemption. And they said, could I go? And he said, whosoever will, let him come. Jump in the basket. Now, redemption is not for them. But salvation is. You understand, there's a difference in salvation and redemption. Don't be afraid to witness to people. Lead them to Christ first. Don't give them the doctrines of the message. They may never come to your message church. But you might absolutely be like Abraham and save that Lot from going to hell.
Witness to them about the Lord Jesus. They may never understand serpents. See, try. If they don't, just say, well, praise God. Maybe they got saved. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much today. I pray, Father, you'd be able to take these little simple thoughts somehow and put it together, Lord. So be an encouragement to the people. Brother Darrell, Brother Mike, myself, Lord, we've not come here to impress anyone. We've not come here, Lord, to prove what great preachers we are, because we're not. We've come to testify of your greatness and your great work. Oh, Lord Jesus, deal with every heart here today. And those that will hear this service, Father. If there's one here today that's lost, may you deal with them. If there's one outstream in the service, or one that'll arc at it. Maybe somebody walking up and down the aisles on the outside. Oh, may the wings of Jehovah pass by their way. Blessed be the name of the Lord God. Hallelujah. Down from his glory, ever living story, my God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Born in a manger, to his own a stranger, Lord God, a man of sorrows, tears, and anger. Can we sing it together? Oh, don't you love him? Let's just sing it. Jesus, my all in all, the great Creator, became my Savior, and all God's fools. Let's sing it together as our brother comes. Don't you love him with all your heart? Oh, let's sing the chorus together.
One more time. Savior. Your word be born.